Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball fans, the game is over. Welcome to the Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show. Bet above the rest. Only at the Potawatomi Sportsbook, Milwaukee. After the last pitch, you've made the switch for 21 seasons. We'll hear from the manager, the players, and the highlights from the game. It's time to talk about the game and the team with Tim Allen on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Well, it is a final from L.A., and the comeback, it didn't happen. The results are not good. A 3-1 loss as the series tied now at a game apiece. Welcome in, everybody. Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show here in the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios. Tim Allen, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. What's going on with this offense? You get another nice pitching performance on this road trip. You had two in San Diego. You get another one here tonight. What was Drouin yesterday? He didn't make it through five, right? Yeah. So, I mean, three of these five games, you have losses where your pitchers have done an outstanding job. What does that tell you? We know the answer to that. Brewers muster up one single run. That was a sac fly in the fifth inning. That tied the game there, but solo home runs will do you in as well.
Drouin got through 5 1/3 yesterday.
Five and a third.
Yep.
Of three-run ball.
Correct. And then 6 1/3 today for Gasser. And I'll be honest with you, when this game started, I was like, they're going to get drilled. This is not good. Because Gasser did not start off all that great. They were tattooing the ball all over the field on him early.
Very aggressive early as well. Gasser's been, he's been okay. And he was really good tonight. He really was. That's obviously a tough offense right there. But again, this no fault on the pitchers in this ball game. Bryce Wilson had a scoreless frame. Ulysses S. Grant Anderson came in and got a couple of outs as well. But where is this offense? And now, does it minimize yesterday's win?
No.
I think so a little bit.
No, I don't, because listen, if they lose that game yesterday, they've lost five in a row and are in desperate need of Miz to bail them out tomorrow. Now, Miz wins tomorrow. Again, national game of the week, 6 o'clock first pitch.
You're 2-2.
5 o'clock leadoff show. Now you split worst case going into Sunday. And I feel good with Henderson, even though it's Scooble on Sunday, I know. But I still feel good in that matchup.
This would have been a huge win tonight, staring down the barrels of Mizorowski and Henderson games 3 and 4.
Yep.
What would you do with the offense?
Well, they did your thing. They did your idea. They had their little team meeting.
And it worked.
And it worked. They got you in the ninth inning. Everything went fine there.
It got five runs in two games.
Yep.
Five runs in two games.
If it's me and... they're never going to do this, but you're asking me my personal opinion. I'm trying to figure out how to inject some life. So if I'm trying to figure out how to inject life, that's going to come from the minor leagues. I have no other way of doing it, right? Mm-hmm. So if that means Fisher gets called up straight from AA to come up and play, then Fisher comes up from AA to come up and play and figure it out. Yep. If Terang is going on the IL, based on the Kurt Hoge video I saw this evening during the leadoff show, Terang can barely walk he looked like a 75-year-old man with a horrible back problem.
See where
barely
we're at tomorrow.
Walking. That's what they said. I'm telling
see
you.
See where we're at tomorrow. Yeah. You know where we're at tomorrow.
That does not look good. So unless there's some type of miraculous recovery in the morning, I would assume he's going on the IL. So now you're going to potentially need a second baseman. I mean, had that conversation about Mede. I mean, I understand he's a shortstop and all that with 15 errors, but that would be some energy potentially to add into that clubhouse and put another rookie in there to play second base and potentially see what happens there. I think it's Fisher. I think that's the guy that I'm thinking of.
Me too.
Because the other guy that makes sense would be Burke, but Burke ain't coming up here to play first base or DH unless you're done with Yelich. And I don't does not appear they're done with Yelich. So that's not happening. So I think Fisher's the guy.
Yeah, me too. And with you 100% on I was screaming for that heading into this West Coast trip. We forget they've been scuffling for a while, guys. So last week I said, you know what? On this road trip, why not I called it a spike of energy. Just a little life to it. That's about all you can do right now. There's really not much you can do. They're still 75-48. They're still in first place in the NL Central. They still have a three-game lead over Chicago, who won earlier today.
Yep.
Overall, those numbers are, hey, they look great. They're fine. In the minute, in the moment, in this window, this offense is just simply not good. They're not good. They cannot tell you any different. And their pitching just continues to be amazing. That's the encouraging part. The other encouraging part is you're not going to go 0 for your next 20 if you're William Contreras. That's not happening.
I hope not.
He's not going to.
For everybody's sake, I hope not.
Yelich is going to hit a little bit better. Garrett Mitchell's eventually going to come out of this thing. I mean, those things are going to happen. Now, when? I don't know.
Nobody knows. Nope.
But there is not much other that you can do. You can't go out and make a trade. The only thing you can do is lineup adjustment and a spike of youthful energy. That's about it.
We got one coming in here from the Dugout YouTube chat from Josh, who says, why did they put Garrett Mitchell in the leadoff spot now for?
When he was hot, they didn't.
Yep.
So, yeah, good question. Well, maybe the answer is what we were just discussing. What can you do? What would you do? And what do you think they will do? They've already done it. There's really not much of anything you can do right now. Okay, so that's the first question. The other question would be, and I hate asking this question.
Uh-oh.
I really do.
Don't ask a Dunn Club question.
No, it won't be the Dunn Club. Will the Chicago Cubs taste first place by the end of the year? There's 39 games left now.
No.
We're in the 30s. Will they taste, not will they win the division, will they taste first place for some sort of window of time? I asked the same question last year at about this time.
Yep.
I don't recall the results. It was that scientific. But will they taste first place in the NL Central in the next 39 games?
No.
Is the scare into the Brewers now? I don't know if that's even a right term.
Nah.
Concerned?
I mean, technically, they still have the best record in baseball, I think.
Well, somewhere near there, right.
No, I think they do. I just looked at it. I'm pretty sure they do. Tampa Bay's winning percentage is .612. The Brewers' winning percentage is .615. That's what I see.
And the Dodgers would be?
The Dodgers are .598.
Yeah.
So are the Braves, .598. The Cubs, .585. AL, nobody's even close. Outside of the Rays at .612.
That would be the encouraging thing. That you could say, well, as soon as they start hitting, they'll start winning a bunch of games. I mean, what is it now? 3, 4, 5. You lost five.
That 75-47 does not include the loss. So after you put that loss in, the Rays will go back to having the best record in baseball.
Yeah. So you have lost 6 of 8? Is that it? 3, 4?
Yeah, sounds right.
5 of 7. I think 5 of 7. Yeah, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, you've lost 5 and 7. You're 2 and 5 in your last 7 games here. That's not going to last. Not with this pitching. I don't know if there's much else you can do but what they're doing right now and just ride it out. So thank you, sir. Can I have another? That's what this is. That's exactly what this is. It's no sense getting all frustrated over it right now.
There you go.
It's really not.
There
because,
you go.
Because,
all right.
And here's why. Because it's helpless. You can't do anything.
Yep.
So you just, the only thing to do is ride it out. That's it. Now, I was frustrated earlier in the
middle
of the game.
But see, you had a day of relaxation.
Oh,
you weren't having to play band gigs. You weren't having to run around and do anything. You could just relax and get a refresh.
Yes.
You see, it's right here in your attitude, positivity. Man, I'm proud of you. That's good.
Yeah. Talk to me in the third inning then. All right, we'll be back. Got an hour to play here. Let's talk some Brewers baseball. Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball fans, the game is over.
Ball game over!
Welcome to the Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show. Bet above the rest. Only at the Potawatomi Sportsbook, Milwaukee. After the last pitch, you've made the switch for 21 seasons. We'll hear from the manager, the players, and the highlights from the game. It's time to talk about the game and the team with Tim Allen on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
It is a final from L.A., and the results are not good. No comeback victory tonight. Table was set there. Can someone find some grass? Oh, there's your audio piece right there.
You need some tonight.
Welcome in, everybody. Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show in the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios. Tim and Sparky, and a 3-1 Brewers loss. And I want to get your reaction on a couple of different things. The game tonight, Nicolay Law talking text line, 414-677-1250. Is it really useful, I think, or is there a remedy to what's going on with the offense? Clearly, we know the struggles. It's the offense. But, you know, again, there's other extenuating circumstances here. The futility of this offense should be settling in. It's settling in for me. I don't expect much out of this offense right now. Would you?
No. You're just, like you said earlier, waiting for it to break out and get back to going the way. I mean, Sal Frelick hit a home run tonight in Nashville, played in the field for the first time. So maybe Sal Frelick will be the igniter when he gets called up here at some point.
Well, they certainly could use it. And I'm wondering what Brewer fans would do, because we've gone over everything. They've done what we've screamed and squawked about for a while. Move Yelich down. Okay, they move him down. Contreras, he can't hit right now. Move him down. They move him down. Get Mitchell up there. Get Vaughn every day in. Well, he's playing every day now. None of this seems to be working. So now, let me just throw this these names at you. This is not helping. Quinn Priester, Brandon Woodruff, Christian Yelich, Vaughn, Churio, D.L. Hall, Jared Koenig, Sal Frelick, Cooper Pratt, Abner Uribe, Kyle Harrison, Angel Serpa, Coleman Crowe, David Hamilton, now recently Bryce Terang, Joey Ortiz with a few there, few days. Injuries have hampered this team as well. The final thing is, bad luck is just out of line right now. I mean, we haven't seen this by a Brewer team in a long, long time for this sort of stretch. They are hitting into some really, really bad luck.
Yeah, Lara crushed that last ball.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Look at Contreras' exit velo. Throughout the season, Hoag had mentioned that. About 48, I think 48 outs are made of 95 exit velo or better. 48. Throw in half of those as hits. He's still batting third. If you were to put 20 more hits in there, 25 more hits. So again, is there much you can do about it? The only thing is what Sparky and I talked about. And that is just this spike of energy. Keep your eye off the ball, put a little fun factor back into it. Bring up one of these guys. Why not?
Bring up Fisher with his face paint on and let's go.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yep.
It's exactly what I said. Heading out to this West Coast swing.
They won't do it, though.
No, they're so patient. I admire that. I don't know how they do it. They are so patient as an organization. All right, let's get to you guys. Any solutions you have for this offense? And will the Cubs taste first place at any point throughout the remaining 39 games? They need to get... All right, so I'll say it. They need to get to Monday. It seems like... Seems like they need to get to Monday. By the way, this is also, here's some more good news for most of us. Some people that work third shift like this West Coast thing. This is the last West Coast late night game of the regular season, unless they end up playing the San Francisco Giants in the NLDS.
Swear to God, if it rains and we end up with another one of these games, I'm blaming you.
Okay, but this is the last one. Scheduled. All right, Nicolay Law talking text line 414-677-1250. Tony in North Carolina. What's going on, Tone?
Oh, hey, guys. Love the show. And you guys are true professionals, and I really appreciate you staying up late to talk Brewers baseball. I'm not too worried about the offense. It's just a matter of time. No one stays that cold. And I think the timing works out okay. You know, we're in good shape this season so far. So let's start there. And just a couple notes. I want to get in one really funny observation. So please don't cut me off before I get a chance to do that. But Gasser, very impressive. I knew at some point they'd hit one out, the Dodgers, that is, because that's just the nature of the beast. And we're hitting into some bad luck.
And where's your funny part? That's it?
Oh, yeah, last night I was actually listening to you guys, and someone on the chat, the YouTube chat, said the Dodgers post-game show was going crazy or whatever, being all angry about it. And so I listened this morning, you know, and they started up the show by saying, "Oh, we're going to get so mad, and everybody call in and vent all your frustration." And then the whole time, they were calmer than I've ever heard Sparky be anytime he's ever been on the radio. But that's just a West Coast thing, I guess.
Yeah, right. I mean, their anger's really not angry. Thanks for the call. No,
yeah,
LA,
they're
chill. Now, that's kind of like fake anger out there in L.A. That's not real anger. They got better things to do than pay attention to their sports teams.
Well,
they're not going to really get that. I mean, fans can be kind of crazy. Raiders fans, stay far clear. Dodgers and Giants, same stadium, do not go to those games. I would stay away from those. Those are bound to have fights. So, I mean, there are some instances where the fans get nuts. But, like, the on-air guys, I mean, I don't know. I don't think they get overly worked up.
No, it's that California chill.
Yeah.
It would be like Yelich. When he gets upset, it's like, drats.
But, I mean, even Braun, when Braun was here, Braun really... I mean, him and Melvin got into it at one point in the media, and once Melvin kind of bit him, Braun just shut up and went into his corner, and that was the extent of it.
And most times, Braun would handle himself on the field pretty decent, too. The only thing he would do would get on umpires. You could read his lips. Do your job.
Yep.
You know, that was his thing. All right, Justin, North Carolina. We stay right there in that great state. What's going on?
Yeah, man. Hey, hopefully my signal is a lot clearer, man, because I know I couldn't articulate my points well the other day driving through these country tobacco roads, man. I got one side question that has nothing to do with tonight. Sparky, when is Tyler Herro going to throw out the first pitch?
Who cares?
We got that. That's the mojo we need to change things.
Didn't he already do it? I thought he already did it.
Maybe I missed it, but...
Who to pitch out to?
Tyler Herro. Didn't he already throw out a first pitch this year?
I don't think so.
Since the trades happened, I don't remember. But anyways, man, like tonight, if I would have called last night and we wouldn't have won, I would have been a lot more frustrated. Tonight, I really feel like Gasser did everything he possibly could do. You can't miss by a fraction of an inch versus this team. Their offense is well vetted. But what I was trying to ask you the other night, Tim, is we still have this Hey Bay Bay guy on our team, and he's absolutely terrible. He's a horrible baseball player. I'm sorry. He's a bum. And you have guys like Eddie's Leonard, who we never even gave a shot in the majors.
Yep.
I just don't understand it. And Eddie's was released the other. He was DFA'd by the Giants, so I didn't understand why we didn't bring him back. As far as RISP, though, I don't know what you change and what you don't change, but at some point it just like I'm hypercritical of Murphy at times. And when I was trying to talk to you gentlemen the other day, I was hypercritical of Arnold due to some of these moves that they've made. But however, Murphy is doing a phenomenal job of making chicken salad out of chicken, you know what. So hopefully we can just hold fort. But to answer your last question and then go, I really don't want the Cubs to ever taste first place ever again in my life. But I do think they made the right moves at the trade deadline and they got tremendously better why we are the smartest guy in the room. And that tremendously scares me. So appreciate you gentlemen taking my call.
Tyler Herro, by the way, has not thrown out a first pitch since the trade. The last time he threw out a first pitch, August 5th of 2023, before a Brewers-Pirates game at American Family Field. That was the last time. Thanks for the call, Justin. So there you go. No, he has not thrown out a first pitch yet. I would assume they'll probably have him. Maybe they're saving him for the playoffs.
As a member of the Heat?
Yeah, I guess I would be a member of the Heat. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Well, local guy, Whitnall guy, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, again, guys, there's really, and it dawned on me today. And it dawned on me a little bit during the game. Now, granted, I'll get frustrated in game, but it's just bigger picture here. You don't expect much from this offense when they're in a slump like this. They're trying to find themselves. And at some point, if this is an extendo slump, if this extends...
Well, it has extended for like 3 weeks now, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yes.
It's been a while. It's going to cost them first place. It will, this offense. Take a look at the pitching lines of Henderson in game one in San Diego, Dustin May in game three in San Diego, Robert Gasser tonight in L.A., and even to some degree, Shane Drouin yesterday. I mean, we'll throw in that line, too. One out shy of a quality start. We know where the blame lies here. Okay, now to Justin, Sparky, to your point, to bring up somebody like that, I'm all with you. I said that. It's the same situation we were in back in, let's say, early June, I want to say, late May. And I remember squawking about it, saying, there's no way Luis Lara does worse than Blake Perkins.
Yep, that's correct.
Okay, so with some of these performances, do you believe Andrew Fisher... Anise Leonard, as Justin just said, or some of these other guys, would be worse than Jiwon Bae?
Would he do worse? No.
So that's the same situation. I like it only because it would provide something different. It's a get your mind off things. Hey, we got another young kid here.
And you do it when you come home and this fan base will go nuts.
they will go nuts. Yes. That itself will inject some energy. Nicolay Law talk and text line here. And it's an interesting question. Did anyone ask Matt Arnold why he didn't add a bat or two at the deadline? I'm genuinely curious if he thought they didn't need one or if they were too expensive. He's got to get some heat on this one.
You know the answer to that. You know the answer. We could make up the answer to that from Matt Arnold, and it'd probably be right on the money.
I don't think he was pursuing a bat, guys.
He would
Everything I've heard him say, he's never mentioned going after a bat.
His answer would be almost exactly this. Well, we were involved in a lot of conversations, and you know, other teams get tight on this too, and just on and on and on. It just would be just such a beautiful answer.
And everything was really expensive at the deadline, and he had to pick what positions he needed more, and he thought he needed pitching more than he needed hitting.
And he would answer that by never specifically answering the actual bat question.
Potentially, yes.
Yeah, potentially.
Potentially, yeah.
I would say that, I would love to write the answer to that question. You know, there were a lot of teams still in the race here, so things got a little tight. There were a lot of conversations going on all around the league. I mean, our staff was working so hard throughout the nights. We were working long hours, and sometimes the prices would be this high, and things just don't materialize. We thought we had a couple of things to the finish line, and they just couldn't get... Did I answer the back question right there? Not at all. But... My guess is, I think he did.
No, I don't think he did.
I think he did. I don't see how he couldn't have.
I think if he's going to go get a big bat with a lot of thump, it happens in the offseason.
Your left side of your infield was David Hamilton, Joey Ortiz, and Andrew Vaughn.
Right. And right now, he would tell you, and look, the patience paid off. I believe they said on one of the broadcasts tonight that Joey Ortiz is hitting like 350 something since July 4th coming into tonight.
It's so ever since see like, the hey, look, Joey chance.
But all of a sudden now it's working out. Y'all wanted me to panic, and Joey Ortiz is hitting the cover off the ball. Cooper Pratt was doing really well. He got hurt. Now, how am I supposed to know he's going to get hurt at this point, Tim Allen? And Bryce Turan can barely walk. Again, I didn't know that was going to happen. How am I at fault of that? That ain't my fault. And y'all thought Andrew Vaughn can only play first base and right field. I knew he could play third, and now he's over here playing third.
So why would I go get a bat?
Why do I need a bat for, man? KJ in West Dallas, you're next on the Puddle Otomy Sportsbook Postgame Show with Tim Allen.
Joey.
After the Brewers lose.
That's when Joey started hitting.
That was all because of you.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
Hey, I got a personal question for you, Tim, if you want to answer it. You're a lead guitar player, right?
Yeah, sure.
Cool. I love guitar, man. And I purchased a guitar a few years back when I lived in Seattle. And it was a 57 Les Paul Gibson Gold Top.
Jeez.
With a trapeze bridge.
How much was that?
I bought that for $1,000, dude.
Get out of here.
Yeah. From my neighbor, my friend's dad. He used to be in this band back in Seattle.
I'll tell you what.
Called the Hills
Brothers. You can make money on that. I'll give you $1,200 for it right now.
What are we doing?
No. So let me tell you a little bit about the backstory, if you got a minute, okay? So I bought this guitar from him, and he had his little band with his brothers, the Hills Brothers, and they opened up a barbecue place there in Seattle called the Dirty Brothers Barbecue Place, because he was always had barbecue sauce all over him, man. And the guy had 8 kids. And, he built a vault in his house because they used to steal his tips from looking all over the house. Anyway, he was telling me about this guitar, man. He said he wanted $1,000 for it. I said, okay. I mean, I don't know much about guitars, but he did tell me that John Lee Hooker played this guitar. He used to he used to ride down the old dirt roads from Seattle to Texas with this guitar.
He's a blues player, Stevie. I said,
do you have any pictures of him, with this guitar? He goes, but I don't remember because he was 90-something years old at this time when I bought the guitar. He was getting ready to go in a senior living place, right? So I started working at the museum in Seattle, Experience Music Project. So I ran into the curator there, and I told him about this guitar. So he looked at it, and he said, yeah. And he come to find out, he turned out he found a picture of John Lee Hooker with this guitar, and he knew it was the same guitar.
You still have it?
No. I sold it to them for $67,000.
Jeez!
And you were offering $1,200. You were trying to rob that man. $67,000.
Yeah, that's what I said. And right now it's worth. They just resold it. Jody Allen, who just sold the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, that Paul Allen, the museum. That's where I used to work. Right.
Yep.
So they sold that guitar for $147,000.
Wow!
Damn.
Yeah. So I thought that was a fun talk. Anyway, to the game and your question, to your point, Tim. I think they made a big mistake not getting a bat. They got a lot of table setters. You know, they can go through a period of time when they can get a string of hits like last night, 4 or 5 hits in a row. But they got to get a guy up there that can hit a home run, to hit out the ballpark.
Right.
And they just don't have it, man. Nope. They don't have that right now.
That's the issue, KJ. Thanks for the call. Hey, man. So while he was talking, I was Googling this Dirty Brothers and Hills Brothers and all that.
Yeah.
Man, this place was legendary. Like,
really?
there was an article November of 2025 talking about it. Like, it would open in 1953, and I am telling you, it is legendary stuff in Seattle.
Is it a blues bar?
No, it was a barbecue restaurant.
Just a barbecue joint.
Barbecue restaurant, yeah, man.
Okay.
And,
I thought Hills Brothers were the
sweet potato, man. Sweet potato pie, spicy sauce, yuck, and smoked ribs, white bread.
That'll do.
Oh, man. Get out of here.
All right, that'll do. 414-677-1250, Nicolay Law talking text line. Brewers fall 3-1. You think about back to the NLCS. You hit a little bit, you'll beat that team. You did it last night. You hit just a little bit tonight, you beat them again. This could play out like this. A lot of people are projecting. What did I see in USA Today? I don't know if you saw that the real challenge is coming into LA this weekend. I think the headline was. And that was the Brewers,
yeah,
heading into LA. So I mean, hit a little bit in those key moments. Yeah, the Dodgers hit a couple of homers tonight. It got them to 3 runs, folks. The pitching on this road trip, right here, right now, I don't think you could expect anything more out of the pitching.
Agreed.
The one got away. I get it, and that will happen. We all understand that part. Man, this pitching has been dynamite. And this portion of the program is brought to you by G2 Insurance and Sports. You want a teammate who's been there before, and in Wisconsin, that teammate is G2 Insurance Services. They aren't just an agency. They're your friend in insurance. Whether you're a business owner needing a specialized BOP or a homeowner protecting your family, G2 builds relationships on honesty and value. From auto and home to complex commercial coverage, Tom and the team at G2 have been the neighborhood pros since 2004. Don't get caught without a game plan. Call G2 Insurance Services today at 262-784-0644 or visit g2ins.com. G2 Insurance, your friend in insurance. A 3-1 loss, and we're talking about it. There'll be better days. Still a ways to go here tonight. You can join in the conversation if you choose. Nicolay Law talking text line 414-677-1250. Tim and Sparky here. Pottawatomie Sportsbook postgame show in the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios.
Fantasy football season is back, baby. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. So listen and follow Fantasy Football Happy Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Otani's just been a DH. Man, he whistles that one to center, and Garrett Mitchell makes the play for the out. That is one of the hardest balls to play for an outfielder, the line drive right at you.
There it is on Brewers TV, Brian Anderson on that call. Garrett Mitchell playing some great defense as the season moves along. You remember earlier in the year, a little trying to find himself out there.
Trying
playing.
Not to get hurt.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show here in the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios. Pat Murphy on the way. Let's get some of your feedback here. We'll go to Sam. You're next up on that Nicolay Law talking text line.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me, man. Look, I just wanted to talk about a couple of things. First being to address the question as to why we don't bring up a guy like Andrew Fisher and Blake Burke. Well, I think it's twofold. You got twofold for Matt Arnold, right? One being, if we do bring a guy like Blake Burke or Andrew Fisher up, right, both guys who've shown at the AA level and the AAA level that they've got some real pop, well, now we lose a year of control on their rookie contracts, right? It's like, are we willing to
not
wager?
Not this late in the year, though, right?
Is that right?
Yeah. No, not the, no. There is a cutoff date for that. I can tell you what the cutoff date is, but no, I think they're pretty good on that. Let me just double check. Go ahead. Keep talking, Sam.
Okay, then I stand corrected on that point. But I think number two, what we're not highlighting is right. Look, the bats obviously have been less than desirable since the break. But I think, as you had pointed out earlier, that if we could have said the same thing in late May when the Brewers looked all but lost and it was maybe one of those seasons we chalk it up to, what are we going to do for next year? What are we going to need? And what's it going to look like in 27? And here we are standing with our, you know, like, right, we've got the best record in baseball, not currently, right, because right, we just mentioned that the Rays, but we're up there with the best in baseball. So I think the bat woes, hopefully they'll come around. And I think it's just sort of how baseball works. If we're slumping now, I think it could be encouraging considering the past few years when we've made these deep runs as relates to our record. Usually we're slumping in September going into the playoffs and it's looking not so great.
Yep. I agree with a lot of what you said. The timing might be right where they get out of this slump at the right time. But the leveling off part of that is you get toward pennant race and certainly into the postseason, you're going to be facing better pitching on a regular basis.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call, Sam. As far as what I can find, to prevent a player from incurring a full major league service year, which requires 172 days on the active roster or injured list during a 182-day season, a team must keep the player in the minors long enough so they cannot reach that 172-day threshold. Because a standard MLB season lasts 182 days, a player can safely be called up roughly 11 to 16 days after opening day, usually mid to late April, depending on the exact number of days in that specific regular season schedule.
You know, the other thing to think about when you do call up a younger player, I was listening to a podcast that Joey Votto was on, my favorite guy.
Oh, yeah, you guys got along great.
Not a big fan of his. However, he was talking about what it takes to call up younger players. And he said if he had to give advice to younger players, he would say, look, you're going to play defense and you're going to run the bases. Well, do those things, do those two things well, and what it does is then it ensures you the opportunity to then swing the bat. So you got to have those two things, and I think this organization has prided themselves on that. I do. Again, you can say that Luis Lara is just trying to, you know, he's a little sketchy at times, but it's not taking him long to acclimate himself. It's really not.
Yep.
All right, let's go to Trell. Trell, you're next here on the Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show.
What's going on with you, gentlemen?
What's up?
I'm going to be Sparky tonight. Not midday matters, Sparky, but I'm going to be lightning in the bottle. And I'm going to use that phrase. As much as it hurts my heart, man, I just think
unless the Brewers catch lightning in the bottle, or unless they bring, bring some of those young guys up towards the end of August before September, so they can have an opportunity to be on the playoff roster.
Good point.
I don't have trust in his offense as far as really competing in the playoffs like that. They got great pitching, but if they don't have a streak of luck, like in the bottle, where they don't bring some of those young guys up and get some extra juice heading into the playoffs, I just think even if they come out of this, they'll be right back in and about time the playoffs come again. It's just how that's the pattern of this team this year. So that's where I am. And I've been saying this ever since I've seen Miz come up here, and our pitching staff is just phenomenal in the way they handle the pitching. But, I mean, if we never can win in the playoffs, it's all going to be squandered. And I hate to sound negative because I'm a total opposite person, but I don't know, man. This offense is not doing good. I don't think they're gonna be a team to make any moves. They got the players down there. Well, I don't know how long it's going to take to bring them up. I'm hoping they bring a couple of these guys up heading into September.
Yeah, I don't think you're alone, man. I don't, in terms of the way it looks right now. The way it looks right now is they're really searching for something. The bad luck is not helping. Folks, it's not helping. It's just not. It's almost aggravating in and among itself. Just that alone is frustrating right now. And you could say, well, a lot of teams hit into bad luck. And they do. That's the nature of baseball, is you hit them where they're not. But you watch every game. Do the opponents do that? Once in a while, you get a line shot at Terang or something. The ball was scalded. Just doesn't seem to be nearly as much as what the Brewers are going through right now.
And that's what happens when things aren't going well. I mean, this, just like when you're on a 14-game winning streak, everything breaks your way. You're just in kind of the exact opposite funk right now than what you are when things are really going well.
How much will they? We all agree that they'll come out of this,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
The key part of that question is how much? How much do they come out of it?
Well, either they come out of it and get back to being average again, or they come out of it and get white hot. If you're asking me what I'd prefer to come out of it being about average. I don't need to come out being white hot. I don't need white hot till about last few days of September. Then we can get white hot. So if you're asking me what do I want, give me average. Give me, you know, 4 or 5 runs and get going, and then let this offense click on all cylinders finally come the postseason, and then take off from there. Because I think even if your offense is going average, you're going to win a majority of your games because your pitching is so good.
Yep.
You
My
don't
goodness.
Need that white-hot offense until you see these guys in the playoffs. Then you got to figure out how to get to it. Let's sneak one more in here. Chase in California, you're next with the franchise, Tim Allen. What's up, Chase?
Hey, buddy. Hey, thank you so much for taking my call. I'll be honest, man. Selfishly, I love these late games because I'm not working when the game's over and I can call in.
Nice.
I also love the idea of Andrew Fisher being called up. I really, really, really see Bryce Harper Jr. when I watch that guy swing the bat. He's got that swag.
Yep.
He can match.
Yes.
I see Bryce Harper. I'm just saying it. Maybe pay attention to him when you swing, and you might see a glimpse of it too. I've been buying Bowman prospect cards of his, like they're going out of business. And I think that the Padres, I mean, they won again. They're a super hot team, right? And I think that playing some lesser talented teams, not like the Dodgers all-star team, right? I think that would go a long way in getting some confidence. Unfortunately, we got the fourth hardest schedule of all teams for the remainder. But I really think that we could just sneak in like a team that, you know, maybe is not so darn talented. I just don't know when we're going to see them.
How much are you paying for those prospect cards?
Honestly, bro, not much. Under $15, 10, 8. I mean, it just kind of depends on they're the first editions. I get them on eBay, but you can get some foils and stuff. But I would highly recommend getting a couple for yourself.
Yeah, I think I should.
Thanks,
I might.
Chase.
All right, thank you. Vincent in Anaheim, let's get you in here before we hit a break and get to Murph.
Hey, what's up? What's up? Man, this game, we had it, man. Our offense was struggling. But I think, hold on, guys. I'm so sorry. Hold on.
You hear me now? I apologize.
We got you.
All right, cool. Yeah, that offense is struggling, and I was wondering, I mean, a call-up will make, you know, maybe get that boost of, you know, new blood in there, you know, boost them up. Or maybe, I mean, I don't know if you got, you know, if we could pick up Soler or Ozuna off the, you know, free agent, you know what I mean?
They're
if
out
they got
there.
DFA'd, yeah. They're out there. This sort of offense, you know, just to give some, just give something. Because,
so
you know,
hold
Soler
on. So
right.
You can pick up Soler, Ozuna,
I mean,
and then bring Eddie Rosario out of retirement, and you'd have your outfield of the 21 Braves.
Yeah, I know. I know why did it get. Yeah, exactly. Right. I know why did it get Soler, because he's an outfielder. You know what I mean? And he don't even that. You have outfield depth. But man, I was listening to this game all the way up to the sixth inning, and my phone died. So I was like, man, we had this game. It happens like that.
Geez.
And guess what? Yesterday, I mean, I listened to the Dodger post game for last night. They're blaming that loss on all on Edwin Diaz. They'll give you the Brewers credit, but they say the Brewers don't have no boppers. And the
how
only
does
one
someone
comes
not
to
hit
is,
Edwin Diaz tonight? Thanks, how does someone not get a hit off him? He walked the farm. Someone's got to get a hit off that little leaguer out there. I mean, nobody got a hit off that dude in the ninth inning. He's horrible right now.
Yep. And odds are he won't be horrible in the postseason.
Probably. Or they're going to move one of those starters back to the back end like they did last year.
Right. Bryce Fisher never topped 22 home runs in a single season in the minor leagues when he was coming up. Number one.
Harper,
I should say, yeah. And number two, Andrew Fisher, just for comparison, at Wisconsin, hit .298 with a .443 on base, .675 slugging this year, 20 homers, 50 RBIs. Currently now in Biloxi, he's played 46 games. In Wisconsin, he played 54. He's hitting .252, .384 on base, .614 slugging for a .998 OPS.
Wow.
He has 16 home runs and 35 RBIs. So combined, he's got 36 home runs, 85 RBIs so far this year, and he's sitting down in Double-A.
Now, I know you got to produce in the game of baseball, but I do think there's also ways to just take your eye off the ball a little bit. And, you know, they're pressing. There's no doubt. I mean, they're probably going to admit that to you, that they're pressing a little bit. This might, I mean, just the fun factor, the electricity or energy around it can be consuming too. I mean, again, bring one of those guys up. Why not? Why not? All right, we'll take a break here, come back here from Pat Murphy. A 3-1 loss in game two of this four-game series, now 1-4 on the seven-gamer with a couple of games left to play here in L.A. Miz on the mound and Henderson on Sunday. That's the good news. Murphy next, Pottawatomie Sportsbook post-game show in the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios. All right, welcome back. Pottawatomie Sportsbook post-game show in the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios. Just a couple of minutes left here. Let's get to manager Pat Murphy after this 3-1 loss.
Competed. He'd like that pitch back to Páez, but he made some great pitches. He pitched into the seventh inning and kept the game close. And I thought he did really well. Didn't walk anybody till his last inning. And I think that's right. I didn't walk anybody until his last inning. And, had a good changeup for part of the night. Struck out 7 or 8, right? Something like that. I thought he was really good.
Flashbacks to last night at all in the ninth inning?
Well, I mean, I felt like, you know, we didn't quit. You know, we hit some balls right at him. As you know, Yelich's ball, Joey's ball, even though it was a sack fly, the ball was scorched. Yelly hits a ball to third like that. Contreras hits another 48th ball to the 48th ball over 100 miles an hour to center or right center in the air. Someone else hit a ball in the nose. That ball in the last inning with Lara. Ball's scorched. Edmund makes an unbelievable play. You know, yeah, we hit some balls hard. So, yeah, we had some opportunity. And at the end there, it's. It is what it is, but the guys competed all nine. That's all you can ask for.
Are you square hitting some balls hard in these games on this road trip with the fact that there haven't been many runs?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of baseball, but it's part of baseball. But you have to hit them at the right time, and you could go through stages like this, and you've got to credit the pitching we've been seeing. That kid that pitched today, I mean, he's awful good, man. That stuff is awful good. The variety he has, the movement on his pitches, his command, the kid's one of the best in the game. I guess he's proven that in the short time he's been here.
I found those two guys in the middle of the Yelich and William, you know, you're talking about looking for the positives in these at-bats. Do they see it? Where are they at in terms of the frustration meter?
Everything's about results. You know, everything in our lives when you don't get results, right? I mean, isn't that what we all, especially young people that care so much? So when you don't get results, it's really hard. Now you got to remember, William was an all-star. Am I right? It was this year, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So, you know, he's going through not getting results. He's not punching out a lot. Hits another ball on the screws. If all those are falling or all those are extra base hits, we're not talking about this. So he drew a walk in a key situation. He's still competing like crazy. Yelich, I mean, of his 8 at-bats here, he's had 6 really good at-bats. No results. You know, one result, you know. But we just got to keep encouraging them. We need those guys. It's not like we've got somebody to bring up or whatever, you know. That's not in the cards right now.
If anything happened with Terang before the game that changed anything we talked about in his availability or not tomorrow?
We'll see. You know, we'll see if tomorrow he's better tomorrow, if it's worth it to wait another day. We'll see.
Did you think about hitting him?
No. He wasn't warmed up. He wasn't ready to do that. I told him before the game, it's not hurting him to swing, but I told him before the game, mentally, he wasn't ready to get after it. So.
Okay, so what's going to happen tomorrow?
He's going on the IL. I don't see, based on that video Kurt Hoger, the Journal Sentinel, put out, he could barely walk. I don't see how he possibly could play tomorrow, but we'll see. Hey, I want to bring up something McKelvey tweeted out just a little bit ago. He said, young Kurt Hoge of the Journal Sentinel asked Pat Murphy earlier today if he thought about giving William Contreras a day off. He said, quote, he gets days. It's just, I don't think William is going to get out of it just by sitting on the bench, but maybe it might be something I try if it doesn't.
Yeah, I saw that. The one thing is, if anyone gets a pass for a hitting slump, it's that dude. And we all know why.
Because he's so good at everything else.
He handles that pitching staff amazingly.
And he's even had his errors defensively that he's been dealing with. And I mean, just like everything's going wrong for that guy right now. Not even just the bat, just everything.
Yep. Drops a baseball the other day and oof, ouch. You'll get out of it. There'll be better days.
Yeah, you said that.
Well, Miz on the mound in game 3.
You've already given up on the team. You're not even here tomorrow night. You're like, done.
No, we're going to do another band event at D's Barn down in Kenosha. It's kind of a cool place.
D's Barn. Yeah, they throw axes. I would be careful if I were you.
They do.
Be careful.
I'll wear a helmet.
Yeah.
On stage. All right. So it truly is the Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show tomorrow, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Luis Olmos and Austin Herdinia from the Potawatomi Sportsbook both joining us in studio tomorrow. Looking forward to that.
That should be a party. Okay. It's a 6 o'clock start. Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show tomorrow night at 6 or after the game. And smile, Wisconsin, despite the outcome. Wisconsin is smiling back with Bob Uecker.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.